Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, I know it probably surprised you that I would tell you to turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Amen. But Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. For Sunday school, we learned what the Bible seems to tell us, what the true birth of Jesus, when the true birth of Jesus Christ really is. And according to your Bible, he would have been born not in December, but at the between the last 2 weeks of September and the first 2 weeks of October. That's according to your Bible, okay? Now, you can find that out by doing it the way we did it, by going to the order of Abia, or the studying out Abia there in Luke chapter 1, the course of Abia, or you can look count it backwards from the fact that he was crucified on the Passover. Amen? If he was crucified on the Passover, because after all, he is our Passover, and he lived for 33 and a half years. So you take 6 months from there, it puts you at the last 2 weeks of September, first 2 weeks of October, and then 33 years exactly from there, it shows you again that his birth is in the September-October time frame. Again, if I ruined your Christmas by telling you that, I'm sorry. I mean, if anything, the Bible does seem to indicate that he was conceived at this time of year, but he was not born in December. Now, what does that have to do with the message? Absolutely nothing. However, Luke chapter 2 does talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's pray. Father, again, I just pray that you'll bless our time together. Lord, as we look at the facts, Lord, concerning your birth. And Lord, I just pray that, again, this Christmas, that we remember the true meaning of Christmas, Lord, that even though we may get caught up in a lot of the commercialization of it and a lot of the parts of Christmas that the world has injected for this time of year, Lord, help us to remember that it's not about Santa Claus and Rudolph and all these different things. It is about the birth of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to remember that. And Lord, help us to be thankful that you came and dwelt amongst men, Lord, that all of us might be saved. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll just bless this message now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this text this morning here in Luke chapter 2 is by far the greatest and most descriptive text concerning the birth of Jesus Christ found in the Scriptures. Now, I will say this, and I may teach on it again this coming Wednesday night, I don't know, but there are a lot of untruths when it comes to that Christmas night, okay, the birth of Christ. There are a lot of people today that, you know, they don't realize what the Bible says, they only know what they've been taught. That's the reason why we're having that discipleship class on Sunday. There are a lot of people that are taught things that just plain aren't true. Amen. You can tell that when you're looking at the manger scenes in a lot of people's front yards. Now, listen, I'm not against having manger scenes. We should have manger scenes. And I'm not against, listen, if it's not exactly according to the Bible, okay. But what I am saying is this, we need to know the truth. Listen, Those wise men were not there when Jesus was born. He was a little boy by the time they came. They were living in a house by the time they came. Bible never says there were three of them either. We assumed there were three because there were three gifts. Okay, they weren't we three kings. Bible never says there were kings at all. There could have been 10 wise men. We don't know. Okay, the other thing too is angels don't have wings. Sorry. By the way, the angels didn't sing that night. They spoke. They did not sing. Jesus doesn't have blonde hair either. He was a Jew. Amen. And so, I mean, we can just go on and on and on. Now, I'm spoiling Wednesday night's message already, okay? But what I'm saying is we go on. We want to make sure that we understand the facts of Jesus' birth. Okay, the facts according to the Bible. And really, that's what we're looking at today. That's the reason Luke chapter 1 is the most descriptive of all the passages in the Bible when it comes to the birth of Christ. But I don't know if you know this or not, but there are passages all the way through the Bible that mention the birth of Christ or prophesy the birth of Christ. Even in the Old Testament, in verses like Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, which says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." You know what that just told you? That the son that is born is God. Okay? "The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." That's a prophecy of the birth of Jesus Christ. And in that prophecy, it tells you who he is. There is absolutely no doubt that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Not only that, but the very first prophecy in the Bible, the very first prophecy in the Bible speaks of the birth of Jesus Christ. If you remember, after Adam and Eve ate the fruit, God said to the serpent, all the way back there in Genesis 3:15, he said this, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You say, how in the world is that prophecy of Jesus Christ being born? People aren't born of women's seed. People are born of the seed of man. That just told you that somebody had to be born of a virgin. It's her seed. And that's talking about Jesus Christ. So we have seen the Old Testament prophecies, the birth of Messiah, and it is really, it's mentioned all over the Bible. But this passage in Luke chapter 2 is by far the most recognized, the most known passage concerning the birth of Christ. It's been used in Christmas plays. It's been used in cantatas. I mean, Luke chapter 2 is the main one. And in these verses here in Luke chapter 2, what we see is we see basically two scenes of what's going on, okay? First, you have the scene of the birth of Jesus Christ, which is the main, that's the main context of the passage. Look, if you would, at verse 6. It says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." This is talking about when God manifests in the flesh and manifests himself in the flesh and entered into this world. That's what it's describing. Now, the book of Matthew records the birth of Jesus Christ this way. It says in Matthew 2:1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king," it says he was born. So that is the two main passages. It was a time when God Almighty clothed himself in human flesh and came down to this world of sinful man and walked among man for 33 and a half years because of his great love for us. And throughout the ages, especially in this world today, man has never quite fully understood the magnitude of that moment that Jesus Christ was born. I mean, we celebrate it, we read it in Luke chapter 2, but I don't think anybody in this room, to include me, none of us really understand the magnitude of just what happened on that night. I mean, for the first time since the earth was made, God Almighty, our Creator from heaven, came and dwelt amongst men as a man, feeling the same temptations that we feel, feeling the same emotions that we feel, feeling the same pains that we feel. Nothing like that had ever happened before. Nothing like that has ever happened since. Yes, man did end up changing his calendar to recognize the birth of Christ. We know that. At one time, we actually used the letters B.C. and A.D. We don't use those letters anymore. They had to change them because they had to get Christ out. Amen. But we actually at one time used B.C. before Christ, and then you also had A.D. to show that it was after his birth, which indicate that, that was how we would look at time. That's how we look at the past, before Christ's birth or after his birth. And so certainly we know that his birth has had an impact on this world. In fact, the three greatest events to ever happen in this world, or that ever will happen in this world, is first the birth of Christ, and then the resurrection of Christ, and then the physical return of Christ to rule and reign on this earth. Those three events are the greatest events that this world has ever known or ever will know. The birth of Christ, the fact that he arose from the dead, and the fact he's coming back to rule and reign. And all three, you say, well, how come all three of the greatest events this world has ever seen has to do with Christ? Because he's your creator manifest in the flesh. So that makes it the greatest event. And yet, when this great event of the birth of Christ happened, I mean, can you imagine the impact and how important this event was? God was born as a baby in the flesh. But yet, on that night, there were no trumpets sounding. There were no bells ringing or people standing in line to view this little baby. There were no flooding of the streets of the media. In fact, if you had been a traveler that night and who happened to walk by and saw that baby laying there in a manger, you would have never dreamed that you were viewing God lying there as a baby. Never would have dreamed it. You would not be aware that you were looking at the King of Kings wrapped up in swaddling clothes. You would probably think that it was just another poor family trying to do the best that they possibly could. And you might even have felt a little bit of pity for them as you walked by. But there in that cradle, it was the God who spoke this world into existence in that cradle. The God who knows all the stars by name was lying in that cradle. The God who keeps everything going in this universe by his words was laying in that cradle. And when Christ was born, before he ever said a word, before he ever even did his first miracle, the world began to change just because of his presence into this world. In other words, there were ripple effects that came to pass because Jesus was born into this world. We're told that the word of the birth of Christ was spread by the shepherds, according to verse 17 here. Not only that, but a star proclaimed his birth that was in the sky, seen in the east. And that star would move wise men to begin their journey to Bethlehem. That same star would eventually set in motion the killing of thousands of little children that were in Bethlehem and in the coast thereof from 2 years old or older, because a madman by the name of Herod wanted Christ to be put to death so that he himself could be king. The very moment that Jesus entered into this world, he made quite a stir. And he made quite a stir the entire time he was here, and he's making quite a stir even to this day. It is one of the most significant events that this world has ever known. This world will never be the same after he was born. And you know, it was the same way, really, if you think about it, when Jesus Christ entered into us the moment we were saved. He created quite a stir within us, too. You see, at one time we were lost without hope. We were condemned. The only thing we knew was the ways of the world. We didn't know anything else. But then the moment you received Jesus Christ, things started to change on the inside of you. See, he came into you, he's came in you to dwell, and now as Christians we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, Christ in us who's constantly telling us when we're doing wrong, when we're doing right, that gives us that feeling on the inside, that conviction that we have on the inside. Listen, folks, things should have changed for you the moment you were saved. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The same way when Jesus Christ came into this world, it was forever changed. Old things were passed away. Now everything had become new because Christ had entered into the world. Never happened before. And the same thing happened to you and me the moment he came into us. Once Christ arrived in this world, things were never the same. Once Christ arrived in you, Things have never been the same. Now, I'm just going to tell you, if you're here this morning and you claim to be a Christian, and there's never been a change in you at all from the time you received Jesus Christ, not a change at all, you might want to check yourself. And the reason I say that is because everywhere that Jesus ever went, he created a stir. Everywhere he went, things were different. The second he showed up, everywhere he went, lives were changed. Even when he came into this world, that very first night he was born, his presence created a stir in that region where he was at, and his presence has created a stir in this world ever since. For 2,000 years, people's lives have been changed and souls have been saved, and all that was possible because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. From the moment that baby was born that night, nothing has ever been the same. So we see the scene there of Jesus Christ being born. And I'm just going to tell you that we can look at it and examine it, and we can tear it apart and break it apart and break it down. At the end of the day, we can still not even wrap our minds around it. That's the reason it's called a great mystery. We can't wrap our minds around that. God manifest in the flesh amongst us as a baby. That's the first scene that we see. But then there's another scene that I want you to see this morning. That is the scene of the shepherds. It says, if you look, starting in verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, the shepherds that night were not far from the birthplace of Christ. The angel comes to these simple shepherds, and the presence of that angel brings great fear to these shepherds. And they were sore afraid. And so the angel said unto them, "Fear not." You know how many times in the Bible that when people are afraid, either an angel or the Lord said, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." Why were these shepherds so afraid? You say, well, they saw an angel. Well, I agree with that, because if I was out there in the middle of a field and all of a sudden I show an angel show up, I'd be kind of nervous too. I'll admit that. Amen? And if you say you wouldn't, liar, liar, pants on fire. Yes, you would. Okay? So they were fearful. They were fearful that night. But not only were they fearful because the angel showed up, but they were also fearful because they were not used to hearing from God. They weren't used to it. It wasn't something that happened every single day. In fact, I'm just going to tell you that one of the most chilling things I can think of in that Bible is from the time that you read the last word there in Malachi to the time you read the first word there in Matthew. You say, why is that so chilling? Because that's called the 400 years of silence. God spoke to nobody during those years. The 400 years of silence. Can you imagine 400 years on this earth and never hearing from God? That's the way it was. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, now granted, the angel came to Mary and Joseph, and the angel came to Elizabeth and came to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, with John the Baptist's parents. But outside of that, nobody had heard from God at all. And here these shepherds are sitting on the field, they're watching over their flocks, and all of a sudden an angel shows up. And the angel is telling them words from God. That's the first time in 400 years. First time in 400 years. And so these shepherds, they were afraid. And no doubt these Jewish shepherds had read the Old Testament and the books of Moses, and they had heard about how God spoke to the people in the past. And no doubt they had read how God had spoken to the prophets and warning the children of Israel concerning disobedience. And here these shepherds stood in that night trembling and afraid, because they knew that they were standing in the presence of an angel sent by God himself. And they knew that they had sinned. They knew that they had come short of the glory of God. And they're standing right there before this angel that night. I can understand them being afraid. But the Bible says that as they were standing there afraid, the angel said to them, "Fear not." And then the angel said, look at verse 10. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now think about this. They're afraid. And then the angel says, there's no reason for you to be afraid. This is what's going on. Over there inside that Over there in that manger, there's a baby, and that baby is the Savior. Does it make sense to you that maybe their fear was because they were sinners, and all of a sudden the angel comes up to them, and they're scared to death, and the angel says, "Fear not, your Savior is here. Your Savior's here." You know, that's the second best news that this world has ever heard. Now, again, the best news this world ever heard is not the Savior is born, but he is risen. Amen? That's the best news, because without that, nobody would ever be saved. But then again, you can make the argument without this, nobody could be saved either, because he came to this world to save sinners. He was the Savior. And so that they heard at that time, the best news that this world has ever heard. Now, you say, well, how does this apply to us today? Well, you know, many times we fear as Christians. When there's a word from the doctor, we fear. When we see things go bad financially, we tend to fear. When we face certain circumstances that we know that those circumstances are so much bigger than we are, and we know that we can't handle those situations and circumstances on our own, we have fear all the way down to our core. But God reminds us that there is no reason to fear if you're a believer. No reason to fear at all. Because things are different now that you're saved. Things are different. Things are different now that Jesus Christ has come. Hey, that's the same message that the angel told those shepherds. Fear not, Jesus is here. Fear not, your Savior is here. And may I tell you, there's no reason for us as Christians to fear today. At one time, listen, we were separated from God, just like the children of Israel were separated from God for 400 years. There was nobody during that 400 years of silence. But one day, someone came to you with good tidings of great joy and told you that a Savior had come and died for your sins, and that he was buried and rose again the third day. And because if you had put your trust in him, that he would save you, and you would have to pay your own wages that you owe for the sins that you committed. And he chose to pay those sins for you, pay the wages for you, and you were saved. And now that you're saved, now that you've been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, God is not out there far, far away somewhere. God's right here with us. The Lord's right here in our midst. Hey, the same thing was true with those shepherds. It isn't like those shepherds were 100 miles away from the Lord. When the angel came to those shepherds, he said, right down there, your Savior lies in that manger. The Bible says that they went and saw him. In other words, he was right there with them. They didn't even know it. Right there. May I tell you today, there's no reason for us to fear either, because the Lord's right here with us. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think the Lord is so far away. He's not. He's right here with us. There's no reason for us to fear sickness. No reason for us to fear the circumstance of this life. No reason for us to fear death. For unto us was born a Savior, which is Jesus Christ the Lord, and nothing and nobody can take that from us. So on that night, so many years ago, you had a Savior, Jesus Christ, being born on this earth, and nothing has ever been the same since. You also had the shepherds in the field who received good tidings of great joy from God, that because a Savior had been born, there was now no reason to fear. Listen, this morning, if you're not saved, you can be saved. Why? You have a Savior amongst us. There's a Savior amongst us. And listen, his name is Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to die for sinners. He came to this earth in the form of a man as that little baby. He had one purpose, to save mankind from their sins. That's when it says, a Savior is born. And if you'll put your trust in him and the fact that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, you can be saved. Fear not. It doesn't matter how many sins you've committed. Just trust in him. And folks, listen, if you're saved here this morning and you got things going on in your life and maybe it's got you worried sick, may I tell you, just like that angel said, fear not. Fear not. Why? The Lord's right here among us. He said he's right here. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord doesn't lie. He's going to be right there with us. When you start to go through these things, listen, I'm not going to tell you you're not going to go through bad times in life. We all are because of sin. Listen, we're all getting older. That means there's going to be more bad news coming. Amen. That's just life. But listen, the advantage you have is this. The Savior has come. The Savior is amongst us. He dwells amongst us. He dwells within us right now. He's in our presence. There's no reason for you to fear. Why? Because it doesn't matter what you go through, you won't have to go through it alone. He's right there with you. That's something the lost world doesn't have. But we've been given that. Jesus Christ, a Savior, is born. He's right here with us. No reason for us to fear sickness. No reason for you to even fear death. No reason for you to fear death. Don't you know the Lord says, I'm right there with you. I'll be right there with you the moment you close your eyes, and I'll be right there with you when you open your eyes on the other side of eternity. Be absent from the bodies. Be present with the Lord. That's what we have. So when that angel told those shepherds, fear not, I'm telling you this morning, fear not. Fear not. Now, look if you would, starting in verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste. Now I want you to get this. I tell you this, I don't know that there's anywhere in the Bible that describes what a lost man should do better than those two verses right there. Notice here these shepherds, when they hear about the Savior, when the angels had told them there's in the city of David as a Savior is born, you know what they did? They ran to Bethlehem. They came with haste to meet the Savior. May I tell you this morning, if you're not saved, that's what you need to do. You know Jesus Christ came in this world to save you from your sins and the wages you owe in your sins. You've been told that. You've been told the gospel that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. You've been told that. If you're not saved, you know what you need to do? You need to come with haste this morning. When I give an invitation, you need to come with haste and meet the Savior and get saved. That's the reason he came to this earth. Listen, he came to this earth to save those shepherds. He came to this earth to save Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zacharias and John the Baptist and everybody on this earth. He came to this earth to save sinners, and that includes you and me and everybody else. And you have the opportunity to come with haste this morning and meet the Savior if you've never met him before, just like those shepherds did. You need to come with haste this morning. And Christian, I want you to start reading at verse 17, because there's something for you here too. Now, there in a former verse, it talks about how they knew that the Savior, they had been told, listen, they had been given the good news, the tidings of great joy that the Savior has been born, and they came with haste to the Savior. That's what every lost person should do this morning. But then starting in verse 17, there's a message for Christians as well. It says, and when they had seen it, in other words, they had traveled to Bethlehem, they looked and they saw the Savior laying there in a manger. They saw Mary there and Joseph there, and they looked at Jesus. They viewed the Savior. They knew they were in the presence of the Savior. And then it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. You know what the message that they were telling people? The same message that the angel had told them. What was that? That a Savior is now on this earth. Remember, they were told good tidings of great joy, and those good tidings of great joy is a Savior has been born. So here's what you have. You have the shepherds. They come with haste to meet the Savior. And after they come with haste to meet the Savior, now that they've met the Savior, now they go out and they tell everybody else the same thing that they were told. They went and told everybody else, hey, a Savior's been born. You can be saved now from all your sins. That's what they did. That's what we should do. Do you realize that that is what Christmas is all about? It's right there in the Christmas story. You had shepherds who knew they needed a Savior, who made haste to get to the Savior. And then after they got to the Savior, they went out and told everybody else about the Savior. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen? Do you realize tonight that the greatest gift that anybody has ever gotten, you and me, if you're sitting here, we got that gift. No gift under your Christmas tree will ever, ever, ever come close to the gift of everlasting life. You get to be with the Savior forever and ever and ever and ever, and even then, it's just the start. Amen? that, boy, what a present. What a gift. It's everlasting life. You say, I don't know if I have that. Then make haste. Come to the Savior this morning. And if you are saved, listen, there are a lot of people out there today that will die in their sins and they will go to hell for eternity. And on this Christmas, this time of year when people are so open to hear the gospel, you have the opportunity to go tell people tidings of great joy that a Savior is here. And the Savior will save you, and it doesn't matter what sins you've ever committed, He will save you. And then they can have the best Christmas gift they could ever have. And not only that, but they just might pass it along to their children and their children's children. What a Christmas. Amen? Amen. The Christmas story teaches both saved and lost. It is the night, it was the greatest night at that time in human history. 33 and a half years became even a greater day. That's when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But those shepherds did the right thing. They came to the shepherd when they came to the Lord. They came to the Savior knowing they need to be saved. And then after they saw the Savior, they went and told others about Jesus Christ. Will you be like those shepherds this morning? Let's stand.